Good evening, everyone. For WRCO News, I'm Todd Coppernall. The City of Richland Center's monthly large item pickup is Monday, June 22nd. Residents are reminded to have eligible items at the curb by 6 a.m. on Monday. Crews will begin collection Monday and continue citywide until complete. Please note, this is not a multi-pass pickup. Once crews have completed an area, they will not return later in the week. Pickup guidelines include maximum of 5 items per address. Items must be under 50 pounds and manageable by one person. No Freon appliances, yard waste, tires, hazardous waste, or construction debris. Items that exceed these limits or contain prohibited materials will not be collected. Residents with additional or oversized items can contact Republic Services directly to arrange a special pickup at resident cost or transport items to their Boscobel facility. The city appreciates residents' cooperation in helping keep Richland Center clean and safe. The Richland Center Parks and Recreation Department will be hosting Kids Night Out right now. Started at 5 o'clock, goes until 8 at the Richland Center Community Center. Kids enjoy a night of fun, games, movies, and snacks. Some of the recreation programs kids will get the opportunity to experience are Crafty Kids, Gym Games, Lego Madness, Girls Just Want to Have Fun, Cooking for Kiddos, Movie Camp, and much more. Cost is $15. The recent Big Top Parade in Baraboo successfully drew 25,000 spectators, injecting an estimated $2.28 million into the local economy. Favorably clear weather and a strong lineup of events kept downtown streets bustling and area hotels at capacity throughout the weekend. According to the Baraboo Area Chamber of Commerce, which utilized visitor spending data provided by Sauk County and the Wisconsin Department of Tourism, the weekend generated approximately $144,000 in combined sales and hotel room tax revenue. Executive Director George Althoff highlighted the strategic importance of such events, noting that the Chamber's goal is to attract visitors for overnight stays, thereby supporting local hotels, restaurants, and retail shops. The annual parade, which pays homage to the community's rich circus heritage, is a collaborative effort between the Chamber, Circus World, and the Big Top Parade Committee. Festivities this year expanded beyond the main procession to include live music from Professor Stitch's original circus band, and film screenings at the Al Ringling Theater, including The Circus and The Greatest Showman. In celebration of America's 250th anniversary, the parade featured a patriotic theme, with local veterans serving as grand marshals alongside Circus World's red, white, and blue wagons. Co-chair Nancy Jenks emphasized that the patriotic focus was a fitting tribute for this year's event. The success of the Big Top Parade aligns with broader trends in Wisconsin's tourism sector, which reached a record-breaking $27 billion in revenue last year. Sauk County remains a significant driver of this growth, contributing over $2 billion in visitor spending, supporting 12,000 jobs and generating $156 million in tax revenue, ranking the county third in the state, behind only Milwaukee and Dane. A Madison man was arrested following a traffic stop in Sauk County on June 17th. James Everhart, 61, was taken into custody by the Wisconsin State Patrol DeForest Post for operating a motor vehicle under the influence for the fourth time. The incident began when a state trooper initiated a traffic stop for speeding on I-90-94 westbound near mile marker 92. During the interaction, the trooper observed signs of impairment and criminal activity leading to the arrival of a canine unit. According to authorities, Everhart handed over a piece of suspected drug paraphernalia to the canine officer. A subsequent search of the vehicle uncovered additional suspected drugs and paraphernalia. Everhart faces charges for OWI fourth offense and drug possession, and a passenger in the vehicle was also arrested for drug possession. Per Wisconsin Supreme Court Rule 23.6, regarding trial publicity, charges are accusations and the defendant is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. The Village Board of Spring Green is scheduled to convene for its next meeting Wednesday, June 24th at 7 p.m. The session will take place at the Spring Green Village office located at 154 North Lexington Street. Residents are encouraged to attend as the board moves through a diverse agenda of local governance and administrative matters. The meeting will begin with the consideration of the consent agenda, which encompasses routine items such as the approval of disbursements. Additionally, the board will review several license applications, including a temporary retail license for Pete's Sake at Veterans Park and multiple operators' licenses. In the realm of old business, the board will provide an update and potentially take action regarding the abatement of the property at 433 West Madison Street. This ongoing matter continues to be a point of focus for village officials. Transitioning to new business, the agenda includes the appointment of members to the library board and a discussion on Resolution R2603, which pertains to the 2025 Compliance Maintenance Annual Report. Before concluding the public portion of the evening, there will be an opportunity for general public comment. The board is then expected to convene into closed session to confer with legal counsel. This private discussion will specifically address strategy and receive guidance regarding the litigation or legal steps related to the abatement of the 433 West Madison Street property. Reedsburg Butterfest continues tonight through Sunday at Nishan Park in Reedsburg. There will be live music, food stands, and a carnival in the Midway tonight and tomorrow. Also tomorrow, the Butterfest Parade will step off at 10:30 in downtown Reedsburg. New this year, there will be a Butterfest 3-on-3 basketball tournament. The 2026 Butter Run and a Cornhole Tournament will be on Sunday. A complete schedule and information can be found at butterfest.reedsburg.org. Soldiers Grove Dairy Days will be held tonight and tomorrow at Soldiers Grove Park. Tonight, the Southwest Pullers Tractor Pull will be held at 6 o'clock. Tomorrow, an antique tractor pull and a beanbag tournament will be at noon. A pedal pull will begin at 5 o'clock. Crawford County Line Band will perform at 7 o'clock and a parade starts at dusk. Tomorrow will also feature volleyball and 4-H kid activities. There will also be a carnival and chicken queue, food and beverage sales both days. You can find more information on the 2026 Soldiers Grove Dairy Days Facebook events page. The Richland County Executive and Finance Standing Committee is scheduled to convene Monday, June 22nd at 5 p.m. in the Richland County Boardroom. The committee will address several key agenda items, starting with a discussion and potential action regarding the transfer of the LWCF grant and property to the Richland School District. Additionally, the committee plans to review the Comprehensive Facility Improvement Plan, evaluate current county land assets, and explore potential new revenue sources. Finally, the session will include a review of both mandatory and non-mandatory services provided by the county. This meeting is open to the public. Senator Ron Johnson, chairman of the Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, has released a comprehensive report detailing what he describes as a significant government scandal involving the suppression of COVID-19 vaccine safety signals. The report, titled Unmasked, How Biden Health Officials Purposely Turned a Blind Eye Toward COVID-19 Vaccine Safety Signals, alleges that federal health officials were aware of serious adverse event signals as early as March 2021, but chose to withhold this information from the American public. The investigation found that officials within the Food and Drug Administration were briefed on flaws in their analysis of the vaccine adverse event reporting system, which effectively masked safety signals. When an updated algorithm was applied less than a month later, it identified 25 serious safety signals, including sudden cardiac death, stroke, and pulmonary infarction. Despite these findings, the subcommittee claims that officials ordered analysts to cease their work and publicly maintained that adverse reactions were rare and mild, prioritizing the prevention of vaccine hesitancy over public disclosure. Furthermore, the report highlights a concurrent investigation by the National Institutes of Health into neurological injuries. The findings suggest that while clinical researchers were treating individuals with injection-related injuries, participants were allegedly instructed not to discuss the study publicly. Senator Johnson notes that guidance for physicians was not provided in a timely manner, leaving many medical professionals unaware of how to treat these specific conditions. This lack of transparency, the senator argues, denied millions of citizens their right to fully informed consent. In addition to the conduct of health agencies, Senator Johnson has criticized major media outlets for what he terms a media blackout regarding the subcommittee's findings. After mainstream newspapers declined to publish his editorial on the subject, the senator released the piece via social media to bypass traditional channels. He contends that the sheer volume of adverse event reports should have triggered an immediate public warning and calls for increased journalistic scrutiny into the federal government's handling of the pandemic safety data. I'll leave you with this. If you're feeling a little older, or maybe you need a nap, remember Jonathan, the world's oldest living land animal. He has officially been named a Guinness World Records icon, extending his remarkable longevity record to 194 years. I'll leave you with this. If you're feeling a little older, and maybe you think you could use a nap, think of Jonathan, the world's oldest living land animal. He has officially been named a Guinness World Records icon, extending his remarkable longevity record to 194 years. According to a report by UPI, the Seychelles giant tortoise, who resides on the island of St. Helena, was at least 50 years old when he arrived there from the Seychelles in 1882. While his estimated birth year is 1832, researchers suggest he may be even older. For WRCO 100.9 in Richland Center, I'm Todd Coppernoll, Vital Statistics, right after this.